Okay, why don't we get started? Let me open with a word of prayer, and then we'll dive in. And just for your information, this is the last session on prayer, and then next Sunday, we are going to dive into the issue of meditation, which will be the last five sessions of the class. And as I mentioned last time, this last session on prayer, I'm really going to focus on practical tools that you can utilize in your prayer life. So it's going to be a little bit different than what we've been talking about in previous sessions, but I wanted to at least give you one session on that. So with that said, we really will pray now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we give you our hearts in love and gratitude for saving us and bringing us into covenant relationship with yourself. Through your Son, He is our righteousness. We thank you for His atoning death on the cross and His victorious resurrection. And we thank you for the hope that we have in Him of eternal life and fellowship with you. And we also thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to not only unite us to Christ for salvation, but also to indwell us and to be with us as our helper throughout our lives. We thank you that He continues to renew our minds, to wash us with the water of the Word and sanctify us with the truth that we are growing and we are learning to follow Christ more and more. And we pray that even this Lord's Day, we thank you for the blessing of Lord's Day worship. We pray that you'd be with us even starting now as we begin our time together by studying the issue of prayer. We pray that you would bless us with edifying teaching and that it would really equip and help us to learn to pray, and that you would enrich our prayer life through this class. And Father, we also pray that as we then move to our time of corporate worship, that you would really draw near to us and move mightily in our souls, even as we seek to give you our praise and adoration. So be with us now, we ask, and we pray for your blessing upon our time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, as I said, we're going to be covering what I'm calling prayer tools. I know that, we could have started the class with these kinds of more practical things, and sometimes that's what people might expect in a class on prayer. It's just, tell me how to do it better. But I've tried to really lay a good foundation throughout this class in terms of thinking through the heart issues pertaining to prayer. But it is true that, having done all that, there are some things to be said about just practical counsel regarding prayer tools. And I want to say that nothing that I'm going to talk about here today is somehow a command from the Lord. These are just things that you may find helpful. You might find them to be the course of wisdom for you. And, prayer tools are certainly not one size fits all. In some ways, it depends on your life, your season of life. I still remember hearing a story, it might be apocryphal, but about John Wesley's mother. I think she had something like a crazy amount of children, like 18 kids or something. And, so for her, they talked about in the middle of the day, she would throw her apron up over her head just to get a few minutes alone with the Lord, to pray and resettle her heart. So that's going to be a little bit different if you're in that season of life than if you're, maybe your kids are grown and out of the house and you can, like Gerald and I were sitting on the back porch this morning with cups of coffee and under the fans and wait, this is interesting. This is a different season of life and you can do different things. So again, this is not thus saith the Lord. This is just, hopefully helpful counsel for you, ideas that you might find helpful. Some of which I've gotten from this book, A Praying Life. Some is just from my own experience and thoughts on this subject. So, all right, so I want to just start with, should we use tools for prayer? I think that's helpful just to think about this for a second before we dive into some tools. So obviously you're kind of anticipating that my answer is yes, but It can be controversial using various methods or tools with respect to prayer, because some people kind of think that that's too artificial for something like prayer. But I want to just start by asking this question. How many of you use tools to help you keep track of upcoming appointments and tasks that you have to do in your life? And if so, what tools do you use? Anyone?
Calendars.
Calendars? Okay. What kind of calendars do you guys use?
Apple.
Okay, Apple. Paper calendars?
Yeah, I use paper. I have a day planner on my kitchen counter.
Right. You got paper calendars? Google calendars. Yeah. Anything else that people use to keep track of, like, tasks that you have to do?
A piece of paper. Just a list.
Yeah, exactly. Like a to-do list, a piece of paper that you keep. Anyone else?
A wife.
Amen.
Very helpful. Very helpful. My wife is always, can we sit down and talk about the week? I'm like, oh, okay. But I know there's going to be more things I got to think about here. And then I'm always glad we did, because I would be lost that week if I didn't. So, Gwen, what were you going to say?
Well, not as good. But the alarms on my phone.
Set a timer. Right.
Turn the water off.
Absolutely. The timer's on your phone. Maybe you send emails to yourself, and then you check your inbox and write them on your to-do list, stuff like that. But so why do we use tools like this for keeping track of appointments and tasks that you have to do? Getting old, so we're like, our brains are not working as well as little kids, although I'm always amazed at how littler kids can, you know, forget to do everything, you know, including like put the stinking bowl of yogurt that's on their pillow into the trash or something like that. You know, it's like, how can you forget to do that? Like, I don't understand that. There's literally bacteria crawling out onto your pillow. So, but still, like, yeah, we're getting, as we get older, especially, but you know, any time of our life, you know, we're fallen, corrupted. We struggle to remember stuff. Yeah. Any other reason why?
We're very busy.
Yeah, there's just a lot of stuff to keep track of, and it's hard to keep track of it all. So you need organization. We're finite as well as fallen, and therefore we use these tools. And so my point is, you know, let's think about prayer. You know, how many of you guys actually use tools with respect to prayer to keep track of prayer requests, answers to prayer, things like that? Did anyone do that? Beverly?
Yeah, well, I've started using, I had a journal, but I've started using prayer cards. I found it a lot more flexible.
So, prayer cards, prayer journal, anything else?
Phone?
Yeah, the notepad on your phone, right? Some of your computers, like mine, has a sticky note app, so it's actually a little yellow sticky note on you. Yeah, and why do you use those tools, if you do use them for prayer, why do you use them for prayer?
Help me remember.
For the same reasons, right? Because we're finite and we're fallen. And so I think that, you know, we can get a little bit too perhaps mystical about this issue and think, well, for prayer, that would just be too rigid, too artificial, too, I don't know. It somehow it'd be viewed as inappropriate to have tools that you use to help you remember things to pray for, to catalog prayer requests and also answers to prayer. And I would just say, I don't think so, because we're fallen. And so, you know, we're going to increasingly find it difficult to remember things and to keep track of things. We've got a lot of things to pray for. I mean, how many times do you guys get asked to pray for something throughout a day? And how many of you guys find yourself forgetting to pray for those things? I mean, I do. And so that's just because we have a lot of things going on and we're limited and finite. And so I would just say that I don't think it, in some ways, it's any different than the way that we use tools to help us with other aspects of life, to do the same in prayer, so that it just helps us maintain consistency and remember to pray for things. We have a lot of things that we want to be praying for. We have a lot of things that we learn about prayer that we want to not lose track of, right? And to remember, I want to try to do that in my prayer life. And we can easily forget if we don't use some tools to help us remember and keep track of things. So that I think is the basic reason why we use stuff. But I do want to read this little section to you about in the book that he says, be careful of systems. And this is on pages 229 and 230 in the book, A Praying Life. And again, this is not like thus saith the Lord stuff. This is just his input on the issue. But I think there's a lot of helpful things in these couple paragraphs. So I just want to read them for you. He says, be careful of systems. One prayer system many people have found helpful is ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And I would add my hand to that. People, among the people who have found that helpful. He says, but systems can become rote, desensitizing us to God as a person. We can become wooden or mindless as we pray. When I come home, I don't first adore Jill for a couple of minutes, confess my failure to take out the trash, thank her for making dinner, and then give her my list. Jill is a Philadelphian. Philadelphians boo their own sports teams. I could probably have an ACTS conversation entrance once, and then Jill would roll her eyes and ask me if I had a touch of autism. And rightly so, when you're autistic, you have trouble picking up social cues from the other person. You are so lost in your own world that you miss people. Remember, he has an autistic daughter. None of us wants to be treated like robots, including God. He is, after all, a person. Many people are so aware of this caution that they are suspicious of all systems. They feel it kills the spirit. Systems seem to fly in the face of what we learn about childlike praying. But all of us create systems with things that are important to us. Remember, life is both holding hands and scrubbing floors. This is just drawing on an illustration from previous in the chapter. It is both being and doing. Prayer journals or prayer cards are on the scrubbing floor side of life. Praying like a child is on the holding hands side of life, and we need both. So his basic point is, you know, systems are something that we use with in any area of life that is important, because, you know, it's like if you have a big doctor's appointment and you don't want to be late, what do? You set an alarm on your phone so that you remember it, right? Because it's important to you. But they can also become a sort of, you know, just rote, where you're just, you have a system and you just work through that. And you lose the personal nature of your relationship with God. You're just, it can become just a box checking exercise, right? And I think that's just a good, helpful balance with respect to using tools in prayer. And anyone want to comment on that? Positive, negative?
I think those tools all help us keep accountability. I don't want to tell you that I'm going to pray for you and then, right. I literally need to have something written down. I've got a chalkboard in the garage,
right,
in the barn, and it's people that I need to be praying for regularly, whether they're struggling or not. These are the people that I will pray for,
right?
And I don't want to, you know, tell somebody I will and forget.
Yeah, it helps keep you accountable. Helps you be true to your word. You know, let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Right. And it helps with follow up as well.
Right. That's one of the things I find. If I actually have a prayer list where I'm writing down people and I am praying for them, then when I see them next, oftentimes I'm more likely to be like, so how is it going with that? Because, you know? I have been praying for them, you know.
So. Well, I think the examples in Scripture are helpful. I mean, just like the Lord's Prayer, the Psalms.
Right.
A lot of times if you're just kind of stuck at how, you know, how to start or where to start, sometimes that just will bring to mind what God is... a way to approach him.
Right. So the Lord's Prayer or the ACTS, those are helpful just to remind us of principles regarding prayer, you know, so that we don't just come to the Lord every time with our list of desires, but we're remembering to praise him and thank him and confess our sin and things like the Lord in the Lord's Prayer we see. So, yeah, it helps keep us on track as well, like remembering, helping us to see where we've become imbalanced or whatnot. Yeah. Okay, any other thoughts before we talk about a few prayer tools? Okay, well, let's dive in here. I want to actually pass these out. The reason I'm giving this to you is because it has in it, this is one little part of the packet is from the Book of Praying Life. Another part of the packet is just a clip from, I don't know if you guys have ever read D.A. Carson's book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, but he goes through the prayers of Paul in Scripture and talks about prayer using the prayers of Paul. So, but I wanted you to have it because it will give you some of these tools, a couple of ideas about prayer cards or prayer lists. And that way, if you like anything that you've heard and you want to implement it, you'll have this packet. You can fold it and put it in your Bible or whatnot. But I want to start by just talking about one tool, which is prayer cards or prayer lists. And I want to start by just the idea of using prayer cards. And so we're going to read together a section. So this will be the first part of this packet. You see, keeping track of the story. And underneath the subtitles, using prayer cards. And I'm just going to read a couple of, there's two sections that are included here that I want to read. And they just give Paul Miller's particular way that he utilizes prayer cards. Since I don't use prayer cards, I thought this would be helpful just to hear from someone who does and how they do it. And then you can take away from it what you think is helpful. But let's read together. This is page 231 in the packet there. The first page. The idea of using prayer cards instead of a prayer list came to me one day when I was sitting on our living room sofa, trying to pray. Life over the past few months had become almost unbearable. I was frozen on the inside. While sitting like this, spiritually numb, a thought suddenly came to me. Put the word to work. I got some 3x5 cards, and on each one wrote the name of a family member, along with a scripture that I could use to shape my prayers for that person. I began developing a stack of prayer cards that allowed me to pray through my life. For loved ones and friends, for non-Christians I'm building relationships with, for my church and its leaders, for missionaries, for my work and my co-workers, for character change in my own life and for my dreams. Here are the overall guidelines I use when creating a prayer card. Number one. The card functions like a prayer snapshot of a person's life, so I use short phrases to describe what I want. Number two, when praying, I usually don't linger over a card for more than a few seconds. I just pick out one or two key areas and pray for them. Number three, I put the word to work by writing a scripture verse on the card that expresses my desire for that particular person or situation. Number four, the card doesn't change much. Maybe once a year I'll add another line. These are just the ongoing areas in a person's life that I'm praying for. Number five, I usually don't write down answers. They are obvious to me since I see the card almost every day. Number six, I will sometimes date a prayer request by putting the month or year as in 8/7, 8/07. A prayer card has several advantages over a list. A list is often a series of scattered prayer requests, while a prayer card focuses on one person or area of your life. It allows you to look at the person or situation from multiple perspectives. Over time, it helps you reflect on what God does in response to your prayers. You begin to see patterns, and slowly a story unfolds that you find yourself drawn into. A list tends to be more mechanical. We can get overwhelmed with the number of things to pray for. Because items on a list are so disconnected, it's hard to maintain the discipline to pray. When I pray, I have only one card in front of me at a time, which helps me concentrate on that person or need. And you can see on the next couple of pages, you can see his prayer card for Andrew, which is one of his children. And you can see how he wrote down just one line, things that he wanted to pray for his son, and some verses. And you can see how over time he probably added lines as things developed. And if you flip the page, I've skipped forward in the book a little bit, but you can see a couple of other prayer cards. One is not for a person, but for a Bible study. And one is just for, men in his church, right? And he has some general prayers and then some specific men he's praying for. So I want to pick up under building a sample deck. It reminds me of a game. I can't remember which game you use a deck, but building a sample deck. Here is an outline of a sample deck of prayer cards that will allow you to pray through your entire life. Some cards I pray through every day. Others I rotate through using one or two cards a day. How many cards you use for a particular area depends on the shape of your life. It's completely up to you. And then you see that this is what a sample deck looks like for him. There's 4 to 10 family cards, one for each person. There's 1 to 3 people in suffering cards. 1 friend card, 1 non-Christian card, 1 church's leadership card, 1 small group card, 1 missionary or ministries card, 1 to 3 world or cultural issues card, 3 work cards, 1 coworker card, 3 to 5 repentance cards, that is things I need to repent of, and 3 to 5 hope or big dream cards. He says, if you can't find time to write out these cards, then use your prayer time to write them out. One morning a week, instead of praying, write out a card for one of these areas. You can begin with just a partial card. That's how all my cards started. For example, just write out one scripture and the names of a couple of people in suffering on a card and leave it at that. The hard part of writing out prayer cards isn't the time. It's our unbelief. We seldom feel unbelief directly. It lurks behind the feelings that will surface if we start to write out prayer cards. Feelings like, this is so corny, or I feel straitjacketed, or what good will it do? The old red herring of legalism may come to mind. You might fear that it will take away the spontaneity of childlike praying. And I'll just read that last paragraph, although some of what he says there kind of makes me cringe a little, but some is helpful. He says, prayer is asking God to incarnate, to get dirty in your life. Yes, the eternal God scrubs floors. For sure we know he washes feet. So take Jesus at his word. Ask him. Tell him what you want. Get dirty. Write out the prayer request. Don't mindlessly drift through life on the American narcotic of busyness. If you try to seize the day will eventually break you. Seize the corner of his garment and don't let go until he blesses you. He will reshape the day. And so I think that could be a helpful tool for you is prayer cards. Notice he says some of them I pray for every day, but then there are another part of the stack that he just takes a couple out every day and prays for those things. And you'll find that it will provide consistency so that you're remembering to pray for a variety of different things. If there's particular people that you've said you're going to pray for, you know, you could add it to a card. But it will also provide variety where you're not going to pray for the whole deck of cards every day, but you can take a couple of cards out. So that way, as you're rotating through them, you're eventually getting through a variety of different things that you've learned to pray for. Okay, so prayer cards is one prayer tool. But though he was a little bit more like, I think prayer cards are better than prayer lists, I wanted to give a little plug for using a prayer list in some ways similar, but would have a little bit of a different dynamic. And I want to read this from one of my heroes in the faith, D.A. Carson, from his book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. He uses prayer lists. So they can't be all bad if D.A. Carson uses them. But this is from his book, A Call to Spiritual Reformation, and he says this. Apart from any printed guides I may use, I keep a manila folder in my study where I pray, and usually I take it with me when I'm traveling, and he travels a lot. The first sheet in that folder is a list of people for whom I ought to pray regularly. They are bound up with me, with who I am. My wife heads the list, followed by my children and a number of relatives, followed in turn by a number of close friends in various parts of the world. The second sheet in my folder lists short-range and intermediate-range concerns that will not remain there indefinitely. They include forthcoming responsibilities in ministry and various crises or opportunities that I've heard about, often among Christians I scarcely know. You know, you think about, he probably hears about churches or ministries all over the world and prayer requests about this or that thing. He may not know the people, but he will write them into this list. And they're not there forever because those things often will get resolved or they're just temporary. Either they're sort of thing that will soon pass into history, like the project of writing this book, or they concern people or situations too remote for me to remember indefinitely. In other words, the first sheet focuses on people for whom I pray constantly. The second includes people and situations for whom I pray for a short or an extended period of time, but probably not indefinite. The next item in my manila folder is the list of my advisees, the students for whom I am particularly responsible. This list includes some notes on their background, academic program, families, personal concerns, and the like. And, of course, this list changes from year to year. So you see a sort of moving outward. You know, he's a professor, so these would be people in his life that are not, you know, his family, but people he wants to pray for. And then he says, the rest of the folder is filled with letters, prayer letters, personal letters, occasionally independent notes with someone's name at the top. These are filed in alphabetical order. When a new letter comes in, I highlight any matters in it that ought to be the subject of prayer and then file it in the appropriate place in the folder. The letter it replaces is pulled out at the same time, with the result that the prayer folder is always up to date. I try to set aside time to intercede with God on behalf of the people and situations represented by these letters, taking the one on the top, then the next one, and the next one, and so forth, putting the top ones as I finish with them on the bottom of the pile. Thus, although the list is alphabetized, on any day, a different letter of the alphabet may confront me. As you can see, he's got a prayer list with all the things he wants to pray for regularly every day. He's got, you know, another list that's kind of a rotating list of, you know, different types of requests that are more temporary in nature. And, you know, a more peripheral set of people in his life that he wants to be praying for. And then almost like prayer cards, you know, a bunch of different prayer requests that he's gotten that he just rotates through. And again, it provides consistency, but also and accountability to certain things that he's wanting to pray for, but also some variety in his as he prays, that he's not always praying for the exact same things every time. And so a different kind of tool from the cards, but, you know, overlap, but also another way that another godly man does it. And then I wanted to introduce you guys to what I do, just so that you guys can know. I don't use prayer cards or lists, but I guess it's sort of a little bit of both. And that is, I found an app that a missionary buddy of mine pointed me to many, many years back. It's called Echo. Has anyone ever heard of the Echo app? So it looks like it's like a light blue app with a little arrow. And it's a prayer app. And basically, you can add prayers to a list, and then there's a button for a pray. And when you hit pray, you just kind of have little lists. So they're kind of like cards, but then they have lists on them. So a little bit of the best of both worlds. And I can edit them at any time. You can go in and change it. And if I have reception, I can change it. If I'm like, I don't know, out in the mountains or something. But typically I can change them. I have little stars next to, so a lot of times I'll be praying through our missionaries. But I don't pray for all the missionaries every day. So I put a star next to the missionary, the next one I'm going to pray for. And then after I've done with that day, I edit and move the star down to the next one. That way I'm praying through our missionaries. I do the same with local churches in the area because I'm building relationships with a lot of these guys through our pastor's fellowships. I pray for them, and I use the little star mechanism to make sure I'm praying through them. And then I have things I pray for every day. Like, I use the Lord's Prayer as a guide. I actually pray through the different elements of the Lord's Prayer. I don't just recite the Lord's Prayer, but I use that. Spend some time praising God. You know, hallowed be your name. And usually in that hallowed be your name, I'm using what I just read in Scripture. So I'll read the Bible first, and then I'm using what I just read as sort of a guide for my time of praising God. It's also a way of me meditating a bit on and processing and chewing up and digesting what I just read. So that's the hallowed be your name. And then I get to, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. And I'm thinking more of not only the hope that we have of Christ returning and making sure that I'm refocusing my heart upon that eternal perspective, but also ministry, the Great Commission, and then give me this day my daily bread. You know, I'm asking God for provision for basic needs, and then I'm confessing sins. You know, forgive me this day my sins, even as I have forgiven those who sinned against me, and then lead me not into temptation. Drawing to my mind again the reality that we're in a battle, that the devil's real, that I'm small and weak, I need God's protection. And then I have time for my own personal spiritual growth, where I just, things I'm praying over for myself, things I need to work on for my children. And then in order to not be praying through, there's just too many things to pray for, like every single day I'm not going to pray for the exact same thing. So I have a card for Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and then Mondays, Thursdays, and then I have some special issues at the end that I pray for. And this is kind of like a rotating thing, things that are more temporary that have come up that I'll stick in there, and something then I'll take things off. So a prayer app, you always have your phone, so wherever you are, you probably have your phone at least. And it's just that's what I use. There's lots of different functions on here that I haven't used. You know, they have reminders to pray. It'll pop it into your calendar if you want. They will give you feedback on, you know, if you haven't prayed at all that week, they'll say, hey, consider, it'll send you a little alert if you want. If you want to pray, keep your streak alive, you know, of praying every day this week, make sure to pray. I mean, so there's all kinds of things that I don't even use because it gets a little bit funky in there. But they have all kinds of things that you can do with it. So that's another thing that you could do. And it's like having little cards, but that you're not carrying around a ring of cards. And it's also like having a list that you can always be adjusting. So that's what I do. And so I also wanted to just open it up. Is there anyone else that has things that they have used in terms of their prayer life that haven't been mentioned here that you think might be helpful, or questions about this type of tool, prayer card, prayer list? Yeah, Craig.
I think one thing that would help, I think all of us honestly, is having a prayer and then seeing the result of it and seeing what God taught you out of it, whether it be a trial or whatever it is. We need to be able to look back on where God did intervene in our lives and what came of it.
Right.
Take the big lesson away from it.
Right. Yeah, so that actually kind of, I think the next tool I was going to talk about was a prayer journal, which I actually don't use. But the way that Paul Miller uses it, his journal is more of cataloging ways that God, his journey through praying for different things and seeing how God has worked in his life, so he can look back and see where he was here and how he's grown. And I think that's one way that you can do that. But I also thought about, you know, keeping another card in my app, you know, another page in my app of just answered prayers, so that I could remember when God has answered prayers and it would strengthen my faith. So I think that's another good idea is cataloging answered prayers, so that, you know, sort of like the Israelites when they saw God deliver them out of Egypt and all the miracles, and then, you know, 3 days into the wilderness and they don't have any food, and it's like none of that ever happened and they just forgot all about it, and now they're grumbling again, like as if God can't give them food, you know. And that's how we are, right? In the flesh, that's how we are. We easily forget what God has done. And so that can be a helpful way of strengthening your faith and encouraging you to trust God. Yeah. Any other ideas or questions?
I was just going to say, but he has his ways of not letting you forget.
Right. Oh, he'll remind you, yeah.
But you don't forget, yeah.
Right, right, right. Amen. Yeah.
I was just thinking, if I understood very correctly, I think a lot of times we think about answered prayer as the ones that are answered with yes from what I want.
Right.
And I just think sometimes it's good to reflect on some things that weren't answered, and like Chris says, how did you go through that, and how, you know, what other blessing came out of it other than
right.
your specific
right. So true, yeah. Which is one of the things we talked about on multiple occasions, that God might have another agenda in the prayer and in the thing you're praying about than what you wanted. And it's important to keep track of that as well in your mind and just recognize, okay, well, I prayed for this, but what God gave me was this, and that was actually better. Yeah. So, yeah. Any other ideas or questions about this prayer tool?
More of a point that I started using the cards after reading the book.
Oh, yeah.
And I started off with a card for every person.
Hmm.
And my deck kept getting larger and larger. Recently I started grouping them. Okay, these are people I'm praying for their soul.
Right.
And these are the people who have physical needs.
Right.
And I kept them individually.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, you know.
Right.
Your list is getting really big here.
Right. Yeah, there's a sense in which just recognizing our finiteness and our limitations, and that there has to be some kind of prioritization and filtering out as well. Like, in other words, sometimes you stop praying for people. Sometimes, you know, like, I don't know about you, but if you have a list, you probably feel bad about ever taking someone off of it. But at some point, right, it's okay. It's not like God, you know, needs your prayer. But it's, so I think we, some kind of recognition of our limitations has to be reflected in our lists and cards. So.
Well, and I've prayed, I have reminders to family members or whatever that pop up. And so,
right.
If I'm busy or doing something, I can't just stop. Like, if I'm teaching,
right.
I can't just stop and say a prayer. So I just ask God that you know what the
right.
Spirit is. So
right.
When I see it, just recognize that and use
right.
that, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, amen.
Finite,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Jordan.
Something I've used when I've been feeling like I'm overwhelmed, like I'm in a crunch, I've got a big whiteboard at home and I'll paint it in different areas, you know, so whether it's in the bathrooms when I'm getting ready in the morning, I can
right.
be writing through those things, or in the living room when I'm eating breakfast or whatever, but
right.
just put it somewhere I know I'm going to be spending time every day.
Yeah. So if you ever see Jordan carrying a whiteboard,
right.
yeah. Yeah, no, but I think that's good. I remember listening to this pointy-headed scholar that I like, who talked about how he had a book that he would keep by his toothbrush, and every time he was brushing his teeth, he'd read like 3 pages in the book, you know, and it was like some like 1,000-page book, you know. But I was like, yeah, that's how he got through that. That's how he gets through so many books. Is he just loves to read, and he has different ways he plans it. But like, there's a sense in which you could do that with prayer as well. Like have little prayer lists where in different places where you know that you're going to spend a little bit of time there, in your car, in the bathroom, in at the dinner table. So yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Any others? All right. Oh yeah. Paul. I don't, but I've thought about it. I would be. I've thought about it. I thought, no, that's a little too much for me. But yeah. But like I've always said, it is amazing how much you can read if you do a little bit at a time. So. Okay. Well, let's go to the next tool here, a prayer journal, and this is one of the other tools that Paul Miller talks about in his book, and I think. So I'm going to be speaking about this sort of secondhand, having read some of the things that he's talked about, because I don't use I've never journaled really. I don't use a prayer journal, but I could see how it would be helpful. So what I want to talk about is just the idea of it in theory. And then if any of you guys do use it, you can chime in with your own experience. So first of all, the why would you use a prayer journal in addition to prayer lists or cards? I think it just, the idea of a prayer journal touches a little bit of a different aspect of our prayer life. So first of all, a prayer journal can help you stay focused. I mean, I think that is because of our weakness and because of the times that we typically do pray. Like, when do you, if you pray regularly, when do you typically pray? In the morning. A lot of people, at least. And, you know, let's just face it. We're not all as bright and bushy-tailed in the morning as we would like to be. And so staying focused in your prayer life in that time, because we're weak, because we're, you know, frail people, and maybe we stayed up too late watching the Olympics or whatever it is, can be hard. And so a prayer journal, like writing your prayers out or writing things out in your prayer time, can help your mind stay focused. Also, I think it can help draw out what's in your heart so that you can really face it. So a lot of times what I mean is that lots of stuff goes on in our heads and our hearts, right? Isn't that true? It's like a big jumble of thoughts and emotions. And a lot of times it doesn't ever, we don't ever like actually face what is going on in our hearts, right? Which is something I think we should do. If you think about, even you see it at times in the Psalms where the psalmist will say, "Why are you so downcast, oh my soul?" Right? Like, and I think what he's talking about is just the fact that what's going on in our hearts and our souls can often be unhealthy. It's not, it can be wrong. It's not what we should be doing. So a good example of this is the way that our minds can just race with worry, you know, and it just becomes like a really fast moving wheel and it never stops and we can't stop it. And sometimes we have to say, we have to face that and say, stop. Why are you worrying about this? Let's take this and let's bring it to the Lord in prayer. And so if you're a journal, the idea of a journal would be to write out what is going on in your heart and your mind as you're praying. So, Lord, my heart is filled with anxiety and about these things in my life right now. And I'm tending to just mull on them and think about them again and again instead of leaving them with you, right? Or it could just be that you're actually for the first time stopping to think about the fact that you're resentful toward your wife or your children or someone in your life. And that was always there in your heart, but you just never, if you stop and you think about and you write it out, it can help you to face what's going on in your heart, right? Or I've just been sad. I've been so upset and sad about this particular issue for days. And you bring it out in your journal. So it can help you face what's going on in your heart rather than it just being a big jumble of stuff that you can't ever articulate or you don't ever really think about. It can help you also evaluate and respond biblically. So once it's there in front of you, once you've really written out what's going on in your heart, you can then see a lot of times like, oh, I'm bitter or, oh, I'm anxious or, oh, I'm despondent. I'm acting hopeless. And then you can respond to it the way that you should. You can, sometimes these are sin issues. Sometimes they're issues of suffering. But either way, you can then write out some biblical texts, right? If you're bitter, you can pick a verse on forgiveness, right? And you can pray over that verse with respect to the issue that you just articulated. Or maybe it's just despair and hopelessness, and you can bring a verse from the Psalms about the Lord being our fortress and our refuge and running to Him for refuge and putting your hope in the Lord. Or maybe it could be a verse that's articulating the hope that you have. The sufferings of this present life are not worth comparing to the glories that are to be revealed to us. And you could write that out. So you see what you're doing. You're processing what's in your heart. You're evaluating it biblically and maybe writing out biblical truth. You know, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. You're wielding the sword of the Spirit against those perhaps sinful things going on in your heart. And then over time, right? So what happens the next day and the next day? You may not write all those things out, but there may have been some development with respect to that issue, you know? And it could be a very real issue in your life. I'm struggling. My heart is unsettled because of the way that my relationship with my teenager is not healthy right now. You know, we're struggling to communicate. And so you see issues on your own part. You confess those. A biblical truth that you need, you know, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that which is good for building others up, right? That it may give grace to those who hear. I need to remember that, right? And I pray for my son or my daughter and ask that you would work in their soul. And then over time, you may have other things that you write in there and you can see, on this day I was here and this is what was going on, but things have changed and I've seen progress here. So it can be a way of tracking insights that you've had. You know, maybe along the way you realize, you know what? I've been too, if, in a relationship that you have, I've been too overbearing and worried about, you know, how clean the house is with my wife, and you confess that, and, you know, 2 days down the line, when you're struggling with the same thing, you see that in the page. You're like, oh yeah, I gotta, you know, I've forgotten about that insight that God had given me. Like, it can help you remember things that you've learned. You may, you know, a month later realize that the Lord answered that prayer and you saw progress, and you can praise Him on that day and thank Him, right? So it's just, it can be a way of doing all those things. So the how of a prayer journal might be you express your honest thoughts and feelings in a prayer journal. You could write down relevant biblical truths or verses with respect to those things. It could also be, I've said thoughts and feelings. It could also be your circumstances, right, that you're writing down and praying over. You could write down insights and evaluation of your heart. And you can confess sin and petition God for forgiveness and ask Him for grace and help and change. And you can express praise and thanks, right? So these are just some ways that you might use a prayer journal and why you might use a prayer journal, why it might be helpful. And again, I've never actually used a prayer journal, so I don't know. I think also you could see how a prayer journal could just be a flow of thought, you know, where you're writing everything down. But it could also be you're praying, but then you're writing certain things down and not your whole prayer, right? It's interesting that he pointed out in this book that there's a sense in which the classic work, St. Augustine's Confessions, has anyone ever read that book? It's worth reading. It's one of the great classics that's been handed down to us in church history. But there's a sense in which that book is in some ways a prayer journal that St. Augustine wrote over the course of a period of time in his life, reflecting upon his own conversion and what the Lord had done in his life. But a lot of it is just firsthand talking to God in the book. So let me read a little section here in the book. It's not in your packet. Sorry, I don't know why I picked that up. And just to give you a little flavor of how he uses a prayer journal. So this is a little section titled Using a Prayer Journal Over the Course of a Year. And then he has another section where he talks about using a prayer journal in a day. But this just gives you a little sense of how it says worked in his life. It says, the year following my December prayer retreat, which is something you talked about earlier in the chapter, was an interior journey. In February, when things started getting difficult, I wrote in my journal, help me not to shrink from any cup of suffering you might have prepared for me. I remembered the list of 7 character qualities that I'd written in my journal 2 months before and decided to turn each of them into a prayer. I was keenly aware that God wanted to develop my character through suffering. In late March, I wrote the following reflection about myself. Okay, so December, and now we're in March. When I think I'm right, I tend to be quick to defend and slow to understand. I can be intense, judgmental, and proud. Jesus, make me quiet, prudent, and humble. And until you do, help me to shut up. In December, God had shown me parts of my character that I needed to submit to Him. Now, my prayer journal allowed me to track what He was doing in the larger story of His determination to make me like His Son. Month by month, He worked on me. By June, I realized that God didn't seem particularly interested in saving me from the difficult situation. He just wanted to change me. I wrote, quote, for the first time in the last 4 months, the idea of primarily focusing on my repentance is appealing to me. It was a relief to realize God had boxed me in. It took off some of the pressure. I stopped hunting for ways to improve my situation and focused on my own repentance. Later that month, I realized God wanted to teach me how to listen to those who had a problem with me. Here's what I wrote in my journal about what I was learning. Be sensitive to how hard it is for the other person to share. Ask, do you want me to respond or just think about it? Even if if it doesn't seem true, try to find something I've done wrong. Don't be truth focused. The truth is that I need to love the other person. repeat back what the other person says. Ask questions about the person. Wait on explaining yourself. Really wait in telling the other person what he or she did wrong. So these are just points he put into his prayer journal later in the month of June. And then the following month, July, I felt I'd made much progress. I wrote this about my recent situation. I wasn't slow to anger. I wasn't quick to listen. I wasn't slow to speech. But by the end of the year, I was writing entries like this one. I'm a different person than I was before all this started. I pray that will last. Give me an obedient heart. And then he ends the section this way. He says, when we keep our eyes on the shepherd, we become aware of ourselves. The valley of the shadow of death becomes a valley of vision. As you can see, journaling allows us to discover the story that God is writing in our lives. Instead of rushing through life, it allows us to pause and reflect. So that just gives you an idea. He's not giving you everything he writes in his journal, but just a way that he came to certain realizations and was able to catalog that and reflect. He often was reflecting back on something that he'd written and then making that his prayer going forward. And he could track his progress in his journal over time. And he found that to be a helpful tool. So any questions or thoughts about prayer journaling? It's, again, not let's say it's the Lord issue. It's just it potentially might be a way of helping you cultivate your prayer life. Any questions on that or thoughts? Does anyone use a prayer journal? Alejandra? Yeah. Have you found it to be helpful? Is that something you've used for quite some time now? Or is it fairly recent?
I'm not super consistent at it.
Yeah.
But it's, looking back at it recently, which I helped on eye-opening where maybe I got some kind of
right.
Seeing the changes.
Right. Yeah.
I think that temptation sometimes when we do this is to focus on us instead of the Lord.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit and God.
Right.
So when I have done this before, I don't do it all the time, but then to spend time after you're talking about yourself and yourself.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
Put scripture over that and praise God for who he is and how he.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in some ways, a prayer journal, it might be a way of helping you see how self-focused you've been. As you look back at it, you're like, wow, I never praised the Lord, you know, and so sometimes it can be a way of helping you learn to see yourself better. And then, writing down your prayers, you can see, I need to just spend some time praying, praising God, thanking him. Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I like how you said that journaling helps us to pause and reflect instead of rush through life.
Right. That's exactly, I think, as hard as it sounds to do it, he's not telling you how much time he spends doing it. It might be a fairly brief time every morning, but it can just be a time of really pausing and reflecting, which can be, this is part of what makes prayer hard, right? As soon as you sit down to pray, you're like, I got to get to this appointment. I got to get, you know, I got to get the kids here and, you know.
There's always interruption.
Right.
I don't use it like a guide or anything. It's just kind of when you get to that point of, okay, I've been thinking about something a lot.
Right.
Let's face it.
Right. In some ways, I think the prayer journal, it can be potentially something that you pick up and do when you're really struggling to pray for different reasons. Maybe you're going through really difficult circumstances and you're just finding it hard to pray. Maybe you're very anxious and worried about certain things and your mind's just running. Can a way to just help you to, it just be a tool to, like, in desperation, I'm just going to write out my prayer so I can keep my train of thought going and really focus on this. So yeah, Becky.
I'm just going to say I've been encouraged that my grandsons that went on Mexico mission trip, just the growth
right.
in their spiritual life as a result of that trip. And one thing that Ryan and probably Sam too both mentioned was that they were encouraged to journal each day
right.
and part of their quiet time. So especially Ryan, he's quiet. He's not as verbose as a lot of people in our family are. And he said he really liked that, and I thought, what a tool for if that's kind of temperament. It gave him a direction that I've seen growth and and enjoys journaling.
Yeah. I remember them saying that they were doing that on the trip, and yeah. That's neat to hear.
A tool. Yeah. They were taught a tool.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're at the end of our time. I had another slide. I might just run through these quick as just bullet points of other helpful suggestions. One, get a loan, if possible. I know it sounds weird, but perhaps, you know, praying in the front room with where you're always getting up to do this or that might not be the best idea. Solitude, I think, is a lost art. Pray out loud. In other words, if you struggle to, because of the constant running of your mind and you struggle to remain focused, I found that sometimes just praying out loud, even if it's not very loud, is a way of just helping you actually pray without always being distracted. Walking and praying, I think, can be helpful. I found that helpful at times where, like, the amount of time that I pray, is if that can become an issue, like, I'm just not spending very much time. So I set up a route that I'll walk, and I know it takes about a half an hour or something, right? And then as I'm walking, I'm praying, and I know I'm going to be praying for a half an hour, regardless. So that's helped me. And sometimes if I find a remote place, you know, to walk, then I can pray quietly but out loud, and I'm able to, like, keep my train of thought through that throughout that time. Read, then pray. I just think reading your Bible first and then praying helps you. Like I said, I will actually pray over some of the things that I've read. So, you know, rather than every single time you pray the same things about God, the same things about yourself, that if you read first, it will fill your heart with things about God, things about you, things about salvation, things about the future and the past and the world, and it can shape your prayers. If you've just read it, you know, Exodus 19, where the Lord thunders to his people from Mount Sinai in your devotions, it's like, you'll be, wow, Lord, you are awesome. You are full of almighty power. Like, we ought to have a holy fear of you as well as love. And so those types of things can be helpful. Sometimes using biblical prayers. I think Anne mentioned this earlier. You could actually use, like, the prayers of Paul. You could actually write out or print out all the prayers of Scripture that you can find. I mean, besides, like, printing out the entire book of Psalms. But, you know, go through Paul's epistles, for instance, or the prayer of Nehemiah or the prayer of Daniel, and just print those out. And then sometimes use those in your as a guide, like praying for similar things. Or sometimes you might even just pray the Psalms, you know. My dad used to do that a lot when he walked. He would use the Psalms and pray over the Psalms. Pray with your family. I think that's an important practice. If you have a wife and children, to pray with them. And then teach your children how to pray if you have children. In other words, don't be afraid to have them pray. You know, if you ever wonder, like, how do kids start praying? Like, maybe you get to the youth group and some of the kids are comfortable praying in front of a group and others aren't. And you say, why is that? You know, just a personality thing? Well, partly maybe, but it might also be that they've been praying with their family for a long time, you know. They've learned to pray. Have them pray during family worship time. Ask others to pray for you. And pay attention when you hear. This is one of the things that I think public prayer in the service is good. You learn how to pray by listening to other Christians pray, especially if you're a newer Christian. Listen to how mature believers pray and imitate them in that. And then lastly, read good books on prayer. You know, this is one book that I think is largely good and sound, but there are many others as well that you could pick up and read. All right. Well, that's it on prayer, you guys. I hope it's been helpful to you. Next time we'll start on biblical meditation, and we'll have about 5 classes left in that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time reflecting on just some tools that we could use to pray. Lord, ultimately we know that because we are finite as well as still fallen, we have remaining sin, that prayer, sadly, is hard for us. and we need your grace. We think of what Paul told Timothy, that like an athlete disciplines himself for the race, that we are also to discipline ourselves spiritually for the purpose of godliness, and that we should expect that things like prayer and scripture reading will be hard for us because we have remaining corruption, because we're weak physically and mentally, and because we're just human beings, small and frail, and we're getting older. And we just pray that you would have mercy upon us, and in our weakness you would strengthen us, that you would give us, by the Holy Spirit, the spiritual fortitude and commitment and longing of heart and desire to pray, and that we would learn over time, like children growing into maturity, that we would grow with respect to this issue in our life, and that you would help us to develop a praying life, as Paul Miller has talked about in this book, that prayer would become a way of life for us, and that we grow in it. Lord, I know that we're all in different places in our prayer life, and some of us are praying a lot, some of us are not praying hardly at all, some of us in fits and starts, and we can be discouraged. I pray this class would be an encouragement to everyone, and that they would simply begin to draw near to you wherever they are at in their progress. And Lord, that this class would equip us with wisdom and biblical truth and wise counsel to grow in our prayer life. And so, Lord, we know that precisely because we are your children and prayer is communion with you, that we need it. So help us to be committed to it, to love it, and to grow in it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, you guys.